thank God for that. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me into the book of John's Gospel and go to the 15th chapter, St. John 15. Jesus is speaking here in this 15th chapter. Red letter edition. How many's got a red letter edition out there?
Yes.
Christ is words. Christ himself. God's son. I could title this morning, Staying Connected. Stay Connected. How many knows that we're living in a critical time of unprecedented evil? We are. It's all around us. It fills the news. The media blows it up. Social distancing. The government's given mandates to practice social distancing. Stay 6 feet away from others. Don't touch them. Don't come near them because of this pandemic. Stay separated. We can see violence, Brother Jason, filling our streets. People are depressed and fears filled millions of hearts.
Yes.
A spirit of anger. Listen, like a heavy pall, a blanket. It's up over the human race right now. Why? Because people are worried and they have no hope.
Oh.
But what worries me the most, nowhere in our Bible has God given a mandate or a law to practice social distancing between him and his children.
Right.
Never.
Right.
It's quite the contrary. He's calling and beckoning us to draw closer and closer to him.
Right.
I don't want to fall out of him. I don't want to get out of his grace, do you?
No.
Yeah.
I don't want to drift from him in this hour. I want to stay near, stay close. Now, you saw this morning as we was praying here, you felt the Spirit of God, the presence of God, just wrapping his arms around this tube going through the trials. There's nothing in the world any better and any sweeter than God's Spirit in and amongst his people. Raise your little hand and say, I praise you, Lord, for what I felt this morning. It's so pure. It's so fresh. It's so real.
God, I praise you.
There's a refreshing in the presence of the Lord. Ain't you glad of that? The sweet Holy Ghost, he's our comforter in times like this. He draws near to us in our troubles. He comes. He's the lily of the valley. He walks right into our valley. He'll find us no matter where we are. So this morning, with the help of the Lord, I want to teach and help us this morning to stay connected to God. Abide in him, O Lord. Listen very close. Jesus is speaking here. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, notice, in me, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He purges, he prunes, he works at it. Now ye are clean. And what God used? He uses the word as he's pruning shears. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not, listen, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Go right on down. He said, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Have you all ever read a chapter in your Bible and it did something to you?
Yeah.
How many's picked up the Word of God and just opened it and began to read it and something transpired down inside of your heart? It gripped you. It pulled at your heartstrings. It stuck with you and it wouldn't leave. It spoke to your very heart, and it caused you to want to pray and cry out to the Lord from your very soul. Have you ever been there?
Yes.
Oh, Lord. This is what happened to me, Brother Scotty, the other day when I read the words of Jesus in St. John 15. It touched me so deeply, and I felt within it, listen, not only inspiration and encouragement, but an exhortation of warning to hold on to God.
Hold on.
In this chapter, I felt not only God's care, but I felt His fear. You can see in this chapter the will of God for every one of us. God, what God's purpose is and what He desires and commands out of us. And if we're going to serve Him and make it to heaven, notice real close the setting for this story. Brother Jason, I never saw this before. The setting for this story in John 15 is Jerusalem. Jesus and His disciples are in a large upper room. When Jesus uttered these words in St. John 15, they had just finished eating the Passover meal, and it was late evening. Jesus was just hours away from His arrest in the garden. He's just hours away from dying on the cross. Jesus spoke these words of exhortation to His disciples and to us while at that table before He left that upper room. So important was the message that Jesus spoke that night that John the Beloved would later record it in full detail. It was ordained by the Holy Ghost to go in our Bibles. So here in this chapter, we have a stirring message for our souls to stay connected to God. It was a warning to abide in Christ. Don't be separated from the Lord. You cannot afford to be disconnected from Jesus in this late hour and lose that life-giving spirit on the inside. It's going to take the Holy Ghost abiding in us to get us through and keep us ready for when Jesus comes. I want to hold on. I want to keep bearing fruit for the Lord. I want to feel that divine presence in my heart raising me up and lifting me and drawing me closer. Can you say, Lord, help me in this hour to stay connected and to abide in You. I tell you, John the Revelator, John the Beloved, it was him that laid his head over on Jesus' breast and said, Lord, is it I? When Jesus was in that upper room first, He sent two disciples into the city of Jerusalem to prepare for the feast of the Passover. He said, you'll see a man bearing a pitcher of water following and say that the Lord has need of that upper room, and He'll lead you into a room that is fully furnished. I tell you, the Lord has everything planned out. God can see right in the future. The Lord knows how it's going to pan out. And you say, He knows about me. He knows my going out. He sees me when I sit down. He knows when I rise up. He knows all about me. He reads my mind and my thoughts. I tell you, the Lord can go before you, and He can set a table to feed you in times like this. And can you imagine that they're sitting around the table? Jesus looks down the table all around Him. He said, one of you shall betray me. Matthew records that every one of the disciples said, Lord, is it I?
Is it I?
Is it I? John laid his head over on Jesus' breast, his chest. He could no doubt feel and hear the heartbeat of God's Son. He said, Master, is it I? And Jesus said, it's the one that dippeth with me, his hand with me, into the dish for a sop. It's him. And Judas spoke up and said, is it I?
Is it I?
Is it I? How disconnected can you get? Peter said that Judas had a part in that apostleship and the ministry. He traveled with Jesus just like all the other apostles. He saw Him raise the dead, heal the sick, feed the thousands. He had a part in the ministry and a part of the apostleship. What in the world, Judas, ever got in? How did you open your heart to be disconnected away from God?
If we ain't careful, we can let the things of this world disconnect us and pull us away from the will of God.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Judas was the one that took care of the money. He had his bag of silver. He took care of the money. Somewhere along the line, he loved the money, and it got a greater and a greater and a greater hold on him than his love for Jesus.
Yes.
To the point that he disconnected, he pulled away from the very Son of God, pulled away from the very hope of the Savior, and he went for the money. What in the world causes people to leave God? It could be a thousand different things in this world to get in our minds and get in our hearts that pulls us out of the will of God.
Right.
Causes us to lose that connection. I feel the Lord here this morning. Lord, I don't want anything. Listen, I don't want anything in this world. I don't want anybody to stand between me and you. I don't want the sap to leave me. I don't want the spirit to leak out of my life. Raise your little hand and say, Lord, I want to abide in you. Abide in you. John the Beloved, he loved that word, Brother Earl. Abide, abide. 9 times in the 15th chapter. 9 times in 10 verses. Abide in me. Abide in me. Abideth in me. Stay with me. Stay in me. Stay near me. Don't leave me. I feel the Lord. Abide. Stay. Keep what you got. Keep what you got. Keep the spirit in your life. 9 times sitting at that table. You go back to the 13th chapter and it starts 14, 15, 16, and 17. Four chapters. What kind of a mind did John the Revelator, John the Beloved have to remember all the words Jesus would speak in the 14th chapter? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare that place, I'll come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let not your heart be troubled. He goes in a whole 14th chapter, the 15th chapter, the 16th chapter, and the 17th chapter in that upper room. Jesus has got a message. Stay with me. Keep bearing fruit. Don't give up now. Keep right on the going and pressing. Raise your little hand and give him a wave offering this morning. John the Beloved, I don't know how many months have passed, but he got a pen and he wrote it all down, no doubt, after Jesus had done died and raised from the dead and went back to the Father. John said, I tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost in me to record what Jesus said. Can you imagine a man that's got a mind like that? The Holy Ghost bring back to his remembrance everything that Jesus said in that upper room.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
17th chapter was Jesus' final prayer. He's praying for all of his disciples. I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but you keep them while they're in the world. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. I'm coming to you, Father, but keep them. Keep them. Can you imagine?
Yes. Keep them.
Keep them. Abide in me. Abide in me. We're going to go somewhere. Oh, God. Brother Jason, I want to keep the fire burning.
Keep the fire.
I want to keep the oil flowing.
Yeah.
Brother Scotty, there ain't nothing like feeling the presence of the Lord. Nothing in this world will ever take the place of God's love and God's care. I feel his wonderful spirit. Oh, yes, God, stay connected. Don't be separated from the Lord. You cannot afford to be disconnected from Jesus in this late hour and lose his spirit. It's going to take the Holy Ghost. Don't go away from him. It's time to draw near. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about years ago as I was studying this. They used to have it advertised on TV years and years ago. A woman had a whole lot of clothes to wash. It had added a dirty and soiled all the clothes to wash. She went in there and put them all in the washer, and the washer wouldn't come on. What am I going to do now, man? All my clothes are spotted, they're defiled, they're soiled. I can't get them clean. The washer won't run. You all know where I'm going, so she calls the Maytag repairman. He walks right straight in there. Where's your washing machine? It's back here in the back. Sir, this laundry's piled up. It's filthy. I got to get it clean. I just got to get it clean. He looks in behind and the plug is pulled out of the wall. He said, ma'am, there ain't nothing wrong with that washer. He said, somehow you pulled the plug out. That's the reason it won't run. That's the reason you can't get your clothes clean. Raise your hand. Praise him, God. Help us, Lord. Help us. Brother Scotty, I don't want to be disconnected. I don't want the plug ever to be pulled out on the wall. God, hallelujah. Speak to us this morning, Lord, and we'll stay connected. Stay where you're at, Lord. Stay in your divine presence. Go after you.
Yes, Lord.
Look at it real close this morning. It was Solomon, a serious seriousness that filled that upper room. Somehow Judas became disconnected from Jesus over the love that night. Oh God, don't let me be like that. It could be 100 different things out there. Look now, let's go just for a few moments and let's go through this chapter. Verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine. This was the last of the I am statements in John's gospel. Jesus had already told the people and declared, I am the bread of life. Whew. Moses asked the Lord, said, who am I going to tell old Pharaoh and the Egyptians when you send me down earth with the staff in my hand? Who am I going to tell them sent me down here to bring your people out of bondage? God said, go down there and declare that I am has sent me down here. How many knows he still is the I am? He ain't the I was. He is the I am and shall ever be.
Hallelujah. Amen. Forever.
I am the bread of life. How many's glad you've got a taste of that bread?
Yeah.
Glory, I felt it this morning. You'll never hunger if you eat of this bread. He said, I am the light of the world. Follow me and you will not walk in darkness, but you'll have a light of life. Ain't you glad of that? I am the light. I am your bread. I'll nourish you. He said another place, I am the good shepherd. Hallelujah. I am the door. And if you enter in through me, you'll have life and you'll be secure and safe. And he finishes it. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I still know how to lift up. I still know how to defeat death. Come on, raise another hand. He still can bring victory when it looks helpless and hopeless. You might feel like you're dead and it looks like everything's around. It's dead, dried up by the roots. But when the Lord Jesus walks in, there's life. Hallelujah. Death could never stand up to the Son of God. All he would have to do is speak the word. Hallelujah. Lazarus has already been dead for 4 days. By this time, Jesus, he stinketh in that grave. I tell you, it's never too late for the Lord to reach down. He said, roll you away the stone. Hallelujah. They rolled away the stone. And Jesus said, Lazarus, with a loud voice, come forth. Ain't you glad a long time ago that the Lord spoke your name and said, come forth. Hallelujah. Brother Earl, I'll never forget the night that he called me and he drew me to him with cords of mercy. He said, come out of your sins. I come out of your prison. I come out of your darkness and I'll give you light. I'm glad that he raised me up out of the trespasses and sins and he gave me his life. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm not dead anymore. No chains, no fetters, no ropes hold me. The drugs and the alcohol have been broken. Hallelujah. The rock music broken. The spirit of this world broken. Hallelujah. And I got the spirit of life this morning. There's freedom in God. There's liberty where the spirit of the Lord is, Brother Jason. There's liberty. There's a lifting up in him. But here in this first verse, just hours away from death, he warns his chosen. I'm the true vine. Look at the word true. I want you all to know now, disciples, before I leave you, I am the true vine. Listen,
when I'm gone away from you to my Father, there will be many, many false teachers and prophets who will rise and deceive many. You're going to run into many false doctrines and heresies.
Right.
It's all around us today.
Oh, yeah.
But I have given you, and I have showed you enough that you know the truth.
Yes.
How many can say this morning, I know enough, Brother Tommy, I know the truth.
Yes.
I have felt it. I have seen it. And God has showed me, and
yes,
nobody can persuade me.
Amen.
Jesus told those disciples, he said, these seducers will rise up with a different spirit in them, a different sap in the vine, but it won't be me or my Father. And as you all well know, disciples, my doctrine is holy, my laws are righteous, and my ways are truth. My aim is to glorify the Father and show others the way. Listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way.
No other way.
No other way. I'm just glad you found the way.
Yes.
I saw the light. And thank God I've got the life in me. So, Jesus, when we come to you and when we're born again and we're saved, how does God deal with us? How does he reveal his will to us and show us? And how do we know to be led and what to do? Not only am I the true vine, Jesus is the same, but my Father is the husbandman. Do you all know what a husbandman is? Can you tell me? It's a vine dresser. It's a gardener. It's a plowman. He works, he plants, he builds gardens, grows gardens. Brother Scotty can tell you about that. He grows the best lettuce, onions, tomatoes. Bless your heart, brother. He's the divine gardener who goes through the vineyard with pruning shears to cut away the dead, the dry, the useless, and the fruitless branches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God is the vine dresser and the vine grower who walks through the vineyard and visits every plant to see if it needs to be trimmed or cut back so that it can produce more fruit. Sister Bard, I tell you what, I thought of her so strong, Brother Jason. I was studying this message out. So we decided years ago we'd grow us tomatoes. So I leave that charge to Mary. She sows the little seeds in the pots, and I go get that bag of potting soil. And she puts the seeds down in them little pots, and she'll water them, and peppers and everything. So they get up so high and everything. Sister Barb, she comes out there and visits us. She's all, oh, Sister Mary. Can you just hear her voice? Mary said, I want to show you this tomato plant out here. We planted right in the front yard.
That's the one she gave me.
She gave it. She gave you that one, didn't she?
Yeah.
And I think at one time, Brother Scotty, we counted, I'm not talking about tomatoes, we counted 90 some tomatoes, like that size up to that size, on that tomato plant. And Mary takes her out there, and I put a fence around it, you know, to keep the deers away from it, and had a flagpole. So I planted right next to that flagpole. It was a flourish, and it was full of limbs and leaves. Sister Bart says, oh, Sister Mary, Sister Mary. She said, now you need to go through here and get these suckers off.
Yeah.
And she showed Mary how, and where it comes up in forks, and they'll be, you know, from the main stem, there'll be little stems that comes up from different forks all over that, pitching things out of there.
Yeah.
Mary said, how come you do that? You know, and you going to hurt it? Sister Barb says, I've been in this for years. She said, I've had to raise my own food and raise my beans and my corn and my tomatoes and put hundreds of jars up and can it. She said, now these are suckers. And she said, you got to pinch them suckers out of there. She said, if you don't, they'll grow up as big as the main stem. And said, what happens? Them suckers drain all the good sap away from the other branches that wants to produce the tomatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ought to see our garden right now. I'm telling you, Brother Earl, we've got tomatoes up here, right here. And I got them that went over at Lowe's and got that big old
wire things you push down in the ground. They got circles on them. It gets bigger as you go up. And Mary's already had to feed them through the first circle, and they're coming up and getting ready to go through the second circle, and they're getting full of balloons. And Mary goes through there and pinches them old suckers out. Sometimes I wonder if the Lord don't say, you know, you could do better than what you're doing.
Yes, don't be a sucker.
You've got potential.
That's right.
But there's things in your life you could do better if you just let me take the Word of God and these pruning shears and just remove some of these needless things that are in your life.
Right. Come on now.
You'd be surprised at the things, Brother Scotty, that ties up our time. Right. And it takes us away from Jesus. And we get so occupied and full of things and full of obligations. And we just involve ourselves in too many areas. And we're spread so thin that we're losing that connection. I feel the Lord right here. Raise your little hand. Praise Him. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. You're bearing fruit. You're bearing fruit. You all bearing fruit. Oh, God. Keep connected to the Lord. Don't ever let anything in your mind become like a sucker branch that'll take away from the Spirit of God.
Right.
Don't get distracted. Don't get disconnected. I feel the Lord here this morning.
Yes.
Come on.
Glory to
God. Come on, Brother Tom.
Amen.
My Father, He's the husbandman. Did you know that the Lord has a lot of work and toil in us?
Yes.
He already has.
Yes.
We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We're His vessel. We're His vineyard. We're His fruit tree, His vine. He wants us to bear fruit. Jesus uses the natural gardener and the garden to show the Father's purpose and to care for us. A gardener or farmer will plow the field and he conditions the soil. He sets the choice plants in the ground. He waters. He fertilizes them. He does all of this because He's expecting fruit and a harvest. So the question is this morning, are we producing fruit after all of that? Are we producing fruit for the Lord?
Oh, yeah.
Do we have God's Spirit flowing in our hearts, producing fruits of righteousness? Notice verse 2. Every branch, what's that next two words?
In me.
In me. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Notice the words close here. In me. This sure puts the eternal security, the doctrine, to death. There is no once in grace, always in grace. When Jesus said, in me, that means that branch at one time was connected to the vine.
Yeah.
It drew the same sap, the same spirit from that vine. Life flowed into it from the root of the vine. What's Jesus is saying? There are many souls out there that's in this world at one time that had the Spirit of God in their hearts.
Yeah.
They were connected to Christ. They bore fruit for the Lord. They prayed. They read their Bible. They came to the house of God. They loved to worship. They had abundant life. They hungered for more of the Lord. But something has happened in their life. They let something in that began to block the sap from flowing and eventually cut off.
Yes.
Brother Scotty, I worked with eternal security people. And I know one in particular, man, he's wrapped up in ball. He was wrapped up in hot rod cars. And he'd want to talk to me going in the gate. And he worked in the department right next to mine. So usually about the same time we showed up, clocked in together, went through the roll cage with her card, swiped it, went in. And I got to where I just hang in the car and let him go. I didn't even want to talk to the guy. I've tried before and stuff. Hey, man, did you watch that ball game? And he's up in the church and everything. So-and-so beat them by so many points. Somewhere along the line, it makes you wonder, were you really truly born again at one time? or maybe you were, and maybe you got into this false doctrine.
Come on.
Listen now. And Jesus said, if you ain't bearing fruit, you'll be taken away, taken away, taken away. Raise your little hand. I don't want to lose this.
Lord, help us, God.
I don't want to lose this. No, ma'am.
I don't want to fall out. Come on.
Something's happened.
Yes.
People begin to wither and dry up, and now there's no life. They become disconnected to God, church, and prayer, and Bible reading, and death in the Spirit has occurred. Verse 6 says, if a man abide not in me, if he don't stay connected, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Are you connected?
Oh, God.
Are you abiding in Christ this morning? Do you have the Spirit? Do you feel Him in your heart? Are you divinely, happily connected to that vine, Christ Jesus?
Oh,
I don't want to paint a picture here this morning. Lord, just check me. There is hope for the backslider.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was it, the 9th chapter of Romans? I didn't look it up, but it's somewhere in the 9th chapter, 11th chapter of Romans. Talking about Israel. And God is able to take that branch that is dead, lifeless and hopeless, and He's able to get it and graft it right back into the vine. Raise your hand and praise Him. Thank you, Lord. You know what makes this so beautiful and so good? Because those that the enemy has tricked up and caused them to trip and fall and go away from the Lord, whatever their error was that Satan got them disconnected, it might have been some weakness, something's happened in their life, but the Lord's is saying, you know my presence, you have felt my Spirit, you know my love, and you know where you need to be. Oh, glory. If you'll come to me and you turn your life over to me, I'll take you and I'll graft you right back into the vine. Praise Him, church. Praise Him, church. Praise Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's able, Brother Earl. Reach right out there to little Sarah, a daughter you all dearly, dearly love, raised in church, crawling across the floor, speaking in tongues of tears, and wetting her face, dropping down to the floor. I tell you, through a mommy and a daddy's prayers, listen, the hand of God, that gardener, that divine vine dresser can reach right out there to that branch and say, you need to come back to me. I'll draw you with the cords of mercy and the bands of love. I'll put you back where you belong and where you used to be. There's no joy out there outside of Jesus being connected. We ought to pray, say, Lord, pour it upon him. Lord, I pray that let your love go to the rescue and let them feel that drawing power, drawing them back. I want to be engrafted back, don't you? Raise your little hand and say, God's able to do it. God can bring life out of death this morning.
Yes.
Yes. Thank God.
Thank you, Jesus. There's hope in Him.
Yes.
Hope in Him.
Back to verse 2, last half of it. In every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And most shears don't feel good. How many knows that?
Mm-hmm.
How many's ever had the shears taken to you? Wow.
Yeah.
Lord, help us.
Yeah.
It don't feel good to be have God's pruning shears taken to you.
Right.
The only way that Jesus can manifest and express himself to this world around us is through you. You will be his channel, his vessel to offer others hope and the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Jesus, I want to be your fruitful branch. Would you let your Spirit flow through me? Give me something, Lord, to offer the sinner and the backslider. Jesus said that vine dresser will come into his vineyard and he'll examine the vines and look for the dead and useless things and prune them and take them away. So what is God's pruning shears that he uses? It is his precious word that is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yes.
There is sanctifying, cleansing power in God's word.
Yes.
That's the reason that we need a continual cleansing, Brother Jason. Brother Jason, Claire, make him a copy. Brother Scotty, a copy of Brother Jason's message he preached this past Thursday night. I've never heard a better one. They're all good.
I'll tell you what, God, that's the reason God sets over people, Brother Scotty, a pastor's heart, a shepherd's heart. He gives us leaders. He gives us somebody that'll feed us. He gives us somebody that'll lead us. Come on now. And sometimes we need that word of God to come forth in its convicting power. How many knows that?
Amen.
Straighten me up, Lord. Get me where I need to be. A genuine Christian that really loves the Lord. Listen to this. A genuine Christian that really loves the Lord will stay where God's holy word and precepts are taught and obeyed.
Yeah.
They'll want to stay there. It's in their heart. They will want it. A sincere Christian. God does not want anything dead or false in His church or in our personal lives. This is why God sets Holy Ghost filled men of God over us, not only to feed, but to teach and correct us. This is the reason people won't stay. They come in and they leave. They don't want around the convicting word of God that prunes them and purges them and cleanses him. Can you say, I still got a hunger, Brother Tommy, for the word of God, for the truth? I want to know the truth, and it's a truth that'll make me free.
Yes, amen.
And it comes a dime a dozen. You can go any church. It's like fast food restaurants. You go and you get a Wendy's burger. It's fixed their style. You go to Burger King and get a chicken sandwich. It's their style. Go and get a Whopper. They fix it their way. Everybody's got taste. Ain't it amazing? I like this, but I don't like that. I'll take that, but leave this off of it. But I want the Word of God, Brother Jason.
Yeah.
I want it in its fullness. I want it in its truth. Glory to God. So how do you bear fruit? Can anybody tell me some of the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Stay connected to Jesus. You maintain life and peace in Him.
Yes.
Stay connected to the vine. How do we keep fresh and green? Can y'all tell me? Stay connected to God and His true people. You need your church. Yes, you do. You need your brothers and your sisters. Oh, yes, you do.
Yes.
You must be near God's divine presence and where the anointing is that breaks and destroys yokes. You cannot live it on your own.
Right.
You cannot do it. I'm sorry.
Can't do it.
Right. You can't make it by yourself without the Lord. I need my pastor. He needs me. I need Brother Earl. I need the singers. I need just the regular people that will pray for me. Raise your hand. We need one another. Christ is the head. We are the branch. He's the vine. We're the branches. We're members one of another.
Thank you, Lord. One of another.
Remember, Jesus spoke this whole message of John 15 to His disciples while in that upper room right before they went. He went to the cross. And as they all were eating that last supper, we have the story of Judas. Can a person become so disconnected to the Lord and the things of God that he or she will sell Jesus out and trade him for something else that they desire more?
Oh God.
Could you?
Come on, brother.
Oh God, help us. If I could say one thing and scream it from the very housetop this morning, if I could say one thing to us all this morning as we see us nearing the end and the Lord's getting ready to come, surely,
oh, yeah.
Please stay connected to God in this late hour. Abide in the vine. Can you say, Lord, I want more of your Spirit.
In the vine.
I want more of you, Lord. I don't want to lose 1 ounce of what I have felt and what you've given me. Stay with Jesus. He's your only hope. Now notice the word if they want to come to the piano. Notice the word abide 9 times in 10 verses. Abide in me. Abide in my word. Abide in my presence. The Greek meaning for that word abide is to stay with. Stay with. Stay where God put you. Stay where God called you. To adhere to like glue. To continue on.
continue on. Don't slack up. Continue going on. Continue. To remain and to hold on, to keep and to obey. It is so important that Jesus don't want to lose you. He wants you to draw nigh to Him. John the Beloved loved Jesus so dearly that he used that same word abide in his letters that he wrote. He picked up Jesus' vocabulary. How many wants to have Jesus' vocabulary?
Yeah.
1 John 2:14, I have written unto you young men because you are strong. And the word of God abideth in you. How am I going to make it, Brother Tommy? Get in the word of God. Get it down in your heart. The word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. How do I overcome sin? How do I overcome the devil and the world? Get the word of God down inside of your heart, and it'll bring forth the fruits of righteousness. It'll keep you free. It'll make you stronger than sin and stronger than any heartache comes your way.
Amen.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father's not in him. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Abideth forever, Lord, because I'm a doing your will. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. It was Apostle Paul that said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Timothy, Demas is no longer with us. Something in the world disconnected him from God. Those that's able to stand, would you stand this morning?
Disconnected him.
How in the world, Demas, you saw the power of God. You saw it on the Apostle Paul. You saw the miracles done by his own hands. You saw the multitudes being delivered. Why, Demas, why would you leave that? Why wouldn't you want to hold on to that? Timothy, he's no longer with Christ. He's been disconnected. Oh, God.
Yes.
More than ever before, now is the time that we must be, Brother Jason, totally committed to God.
Right now.
Connected to Christ in spirit and truth. If you don't stay close, listen, in God's presence, He will come and He'll find your branch withered. If there's no fruit and your branch is dead with no spiritual life, it'll be gathered with the world, with the dead branches of this world, and be burned. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's ask Jesus this morning, Lord, I want to stay connected. I don't want to lose that connection. Never do I want to lose this good feeling. Oh, Jesus, let Him wrap His arms around you right now, that you could feel that love and that drawing power. I want to keep it. I want to keep it as they sing.
It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to be like Him. Though often I fail,
oh yes, God,
and cost Him much shame, if you could see
Yes, Lord.